He's done for me.
Testimony.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here tonight, brothers.
Amen.
And sisters, this
Amen.
Is the only place where I'm going to get fed. This is the only place I know for a fact that God's going to speak.
Amen.
And I know, you know, that we don't have no form and fashion here.
We do not.
And we come here just for the word.
Amen.
But, you That's know, right. I was thinking, I thought, you know, how come the church world can see Satan in everything? You know, they got a bad dog. They go, that was just Satan. Yeah. And they got a bad driver. That was just Satan. They got a bad boss. That's just Satan. But I see God in flesh.
Amen.
There's God. And now they don't want nothing to do with it. They make it multiple gods, but they make it one Satan that they can see everywhere. But I see God everywhere. I
Amen.
Only see God. I don't see flesh, brother. I see God. I don't see Amen. Flesh. I see God. And why can't I see God?
Yeah.
I'm a believer.
Amen.
You know, I just thank God for what I know that I know,
Amen.
That I do see God. It don't matter your highs and your lows, your ins, your outs, your ups or downs. All that's garbage anyway.
Amen.
I don't know you after the flesh.
Amen.
Your flesh came here wrong anyway.
That's right.
It came here so wrong that God's going to get rid of it.
Either.
You know, we talk about everything we know so much in here that it's hard to be quiet when you know what we know.
Amen.
I'm sorry. It's hard to be quiet. I'm like Brother Childers. You know what, Brother Childers? Couldn't keep quiet. Once you got around brother believers, Brother Childers was ready.
Ready.
Y'all got something to say. There's not a minister here that ain't ready. We're ready. I'm full. I'm not going to run out. I got so much here. I got so much. I can't run out.
Amen.
I can testify. I can preach. I can sing. I can preach again. We can go all night. I got something on the inside of me that's eternal.
That's right.
So when you start squeezing from that, I don't run out. I can't run out. You know, that's why
Amen.
It's important to be able to have a testimony. You know what that testimony shows? What you saw.
Yeah,
what
right.
you see,
yeah.
what you're identifying with. It even lets me know how strong you are. It lets
right.
me know what you're going through. It lets me know how you can make it. But when you come in here and you get the testimonies from other saints, it should help us along the
That's
way.
That's right.
Don't duplicate my mistakes.
Yeah.
That'd be foolish
Learn.
Of you. Learn from
Amen.
That. Don't make my errors. Learn from it. You know,
Amen.
if I didn't whoop my kids and they turned out terrible, don't do that.
Right.
That'd be foolish of you.
Amen.
But you've got so many things. We got so many things in here. We got so many examples on how to live our life, how to testify,
Amen.
How to sing, how to praise God. You know, I was just thankful, you know, the last thing, and I'll get out of the way, but I was just thinking, you know, Brother Jeremiah, you said that we should be the best worker. We know what we're
That's
doing.
Right.
You know, and I thought, man, the day was not so great at work, whatever, but I kept reminding myself, no, this is not for this. I'm not working for them. I'm working for God. You know, it's not anything that I got to worry about them with.
Amen.
You know, because when you think about that, you know, sometimes even like in this world, if things are starting to get you distracted, you got the opportunity to turn God on.
Right.
You got Amen. The opportunity to turn God on. You got tapes.
Amen.
You got CDs. You got all those things. You know, my wife sings that song. Sometimes you got to encourage
your
yourself.
World.
You can create
Amen.
Your own world.
Amen.
They put headphones at work, and I can put anything
Amen.
I want in there.
Amen.
I can play the music I want. I can
That's
play the
right.
testimonies I want. You choose.
Create your atmosphere.
You can create that atmosphere.
That's right.
I thank God that we got a God that
Amen.
Gives us that ability. Even when you come in here,
He's
you come
real.
In here tonight, you can create that atmosphere how you want
That's
it.
Right.
You,
That's
if,
right.
If the people sitting beside you ain't paying attention, move seats.
That's right. If, do
you,
whatever.
You can do whatever you need to do. If you think you need to sit up closer, come on up closer. If you feel like you need to jump, just jump. You can create that atmosphere.
Hey,
oh, and you know God, what? I always, so and you know, real. We talk about this, and I'm going to sit down, but I'm just excited because we always talk about one side of it and not the other, but I can tell by somewhere somebody's revelation is, the further they get to the back, just as much as I can tell where your revelation, the further you get to the front. The more
Oh, you know what? I don't need to be distracted. Let me sit a little bit this side. Oh, I don't want this to bother me. Let me sit there. That's the same revelation. It happens on the good side as it does on the bad. When you don't want to pay attention, you know what you'll do? You'll get a baby and go to the back. When you don't want to pay attention, you'll play on your phone. When you don't want to pay attention, you'll get a napkin or you'll want to draw. You'll start pushing further to the back. But the more you want to pay attention to this thing, the more those distractions just grow strangely dim. And they just fall away. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just thankful that I'm here tonight. I plan on preaching. If I get the opportunity, Pastor Moore, I plan on preaching, Brother Jeremiah. But this is just my testimony because we get so much. Brother Jeremiah, that you gave me that book and I was able to read it. And I thought, my goodness, we've been right for a long time.
Amen. It all fits.
It all fits. It all fits. I mean, goodness gracious, if you just show this, if you just show the things that are to be, that would confound them. If you just show this, it would confound them. If you tell them what our testimony are, that would confound them. You guys are speaking like doctors of divinity should speak. If those people are studying the Bible, they should speak like we speak. Amen. But they don't speak like this because they don't have a revelation.
They don't have it.
Thank God for this. Go ahead,
Amen.
Brother.
Amen.
I just want to thank God. I want to praise him for everything he's done for me.
He's done so much.
You know, I get so frustrated because no matter how much I praise him, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I jump up and down, it's not going to be enough.
That's right.
He's done so much, it's not going to be enough.
Never thank him enough.
You know, and, you know, he's answered my prayers this year. You know, my son's back to work. He's walking normally. He's a walking miracle.
That's a miracle.
I seen God raise him from the dead and back to life. And he's so good to me.
Amen.
And, you know, but the best thing he's done for me is give me eternal life.
Amen.
He's given me the word.
Amen.
He's put something in me that I can believe it.
That's right.
But I can see it. I've been to the little room. I know what he told me. I know where he's at. You know, when I come in here, I see God everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, not just in me, but in everybody else. And I know that no matter who I talk to or whoever preaches is going to tell me the truth.
Amen.
I can take it to the bank that I'm never going to be lied to in here. And it's nothing but the truth because it's God.
Amen.
You know? And, you know, he just does so much for me.
He does.
And I could sit here all day saying what he's done for me.
Yes. Amen.
You know, but he thought of me, you know, I know what he's done for me.
Right.
And I love him, and he loves me. And, you know, he had me in his mind before the foundation of the world. When he's dying on the cross, I was in his mind.
Sure enough.
You know, when they pierced his side, I ran out onto the ground, and here I am.
Amen.
Thousands of years later, believing the true word.
Amen. I want to jump in here real quick. I saw a commercial on TV, and it said, you know, for anxiety or for fear, there's only one thing, and it's called an answer. And I thank God that I have the real answer. You know, you can't help but see anything and not run it through your revelation. You cannot help it. You know, and I just meditating on all that God's done for me and how God has brought me through. You know, as you get a little older, you look back over your life and you just see where God has always answered everything. You know, I was thinking every time I got an answer, I got it here. Every time I got an answer, it was the word.
Amen.
You know, I was just telling my wife there were some answers I didn't like. You know, and I thought there were going to be a different answer. But you know what? I listened to that answer. And I did what that answer told me to do, even though my flesh didn't want to do what that answer told me to do. And God has blessed me. I can stand here and say that applying the word of God to every aspect of my life has truly blessed me. And if anyone asks me what my secret is the Word of God and applying it in my life.
Amen.
Coming to church,
Amen.
Listening to the Word, doing what the Word tells me to do.
Amen.
You know, and then through that, God has shown me so much. Just like Sunday, he showed us who the Mark of the Beast is.
Right. Yeah.
I was born and raised in that.
Oh, yeah.
I was born and raised in that.
Oh, yeah.
And I look back on all that and I said, you know, at that time, I didn't know any better. But now with this truth,
I see it.
Amen.
You know, now with this truth, I see where I came from.
Amen.
I see who I am.
Right.
And you know, once I saw that, Satan couldn't touch me. There was just nothing he could do.
Amen.
Nothing could happen. Nothing could mess me up, because everything was because of God.
Amen.
And I praise God for that. I praise God for revelation. I praise God for being at a church where we can be honest and we can be real. And I love our preaching, because in our preaching, they talk about real things.
Amen.
And they call us on real things.
Yeah.
You know, they don't talk this social whatever, that intellectual stuff, that social gospel. Yeah, it's the true, unadulterated Word of God. And I just thank God that He's put me in a place and that He's put something in me to receive it. And there's nothing Satan can do. He is out of the picture.
Amen.
He is defeated. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sing it, song. Oh, I got one coming.
I wasn't sure if Brother Seth was going to testify, and I didn't want to step in front of him because he'd been standing up there. I just want to say I'm grateful to be here. There's nothing like this Word, and I know that there's nothing I could, like everything everyone said, you know, there's nothing I could do good enough to ever be deserving of what He has done for me. But I can thank Him every time I can get a chance and appreciate the Word and what it has done for me and how He has already provided. I just need to, I rejoice in that, because that gives me such a rest and a peace that I can't get out in the world. I cannot, this is the closest to heaven I will ever get. Here, because this is where I can talk about the Word.
Yeah.
I can tell you what He's done for me. I can tell you how He's seen me through. I can tell you how when I'm wrong, God can tell me, I can literally turn around and walk back and say, look, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was wrong. I don't know how to fix this, but God's got it. Because He told me. He's talking to me. And as long as He works with me, as long as He keeps talking to me, I'm good.
Amen.
Amen. Sing a song again. I really love the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this. Maybe I'll give Him a testimony first. But I was thinking about this. You know, nobody here knows what He's done for me. And that goes for every one of us.
Amen.
This is so personal. There's not a bandwagon to climb on. You know, you've got to know. You've got to understand. You know, it's a personal revelation that that nobody knows. The world didn't give it. And nobody can take away.
Amen.
And, you know, you go through life, you got your ups and downs and things. You don't get what you like a lot of times.
Amen.
A whole lot of times. But the thing is, he's still real. He
Amen.
Still abides faithful.
Amen.
And that is worth everything to me. That's my anchor.
Right.
That's
true.
My
peace.
Balance.
Amen.
You know, He leads me. He guides me.
That's right.
You know, I don't just, you know, Brother Moore says something, jump out on it. Brother Moore says something, God reveals it, and I jump out on it.
Amen.
The That's God right. in me recognizes that God, you know, He cannot deny Himself.
Amen.
And there's something in me that bears witness
Amen.
Of the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, and that's, you know, that puts everything in balance. I'm not following a man.
No.
You know, I know the man. I know the man real well. But I know myself better.
Yeah.
Can't throw stones.
That's
but anyway,
right.
You know, it's just like, it's so real and it's so personal.
Amen.
And it's so right. You know, when you know something, it don't matter
you can't help it.
Who says whatever. You know what He's revealed to
Amen.
You. And that's a good place to be. Because I hadn't always been that way. There was a time I was just following a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brother Shirley's always said, well, say it like I do, till God reveals
it's
it.
A good start.
You know,
yeah.
just throw the books down and listen to me.
Right.
You know, and let God reveal that. That's you make more sense out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thankful for a personal revelation.
Amen.
Amen. You don't know what He's done for me.
Amen.
Let's sing it one more time.
Amen.
You know, you come up with this song, and it was, I don't know, Mormon Tabernacle Choir or L.A. Tabernacle Choir. So where does he get these songs at, you know? But I thought, all right. But yeah, that one's growing on me. Especially the way we sing it. Amen. I really love the Lord. That's how I say it for myself.
Church and applying the word, and you know, you come and it gets easier and it gets easier and it gets easier, and then you know, it's just like you're just scrolling along, you know. And it's so funny because sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know enough, and then I'm like, but I know a lot. And sometimes I don't realize how much I know. Amen. And then, you know, Jeremiah's message, I really enjoyed it, you know, it was informational. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like that, you know, I like that, to know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah. To know what's going on.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of interesting knowing that, you know, Satan's not really in the world. He is, but it's the church.
That's right.
You know,
right.
And it kind of gets me excited because you think about it so much, because there's good people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you know, sometimes I think Satan uses those church people to be mean.
Right.
You know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes, you know, like when you say a Christian, some people, they have ideas, you know, but to have such a love, you know, Christianity is love. Amen. And all I can do is go out.
Yes,
I go out and I just express love, you know.
Amen.
My son, we had a friend come over today, and it was just, his mom was so worried because she accidentally had something go on. She was a little late, and I was like, I don't know who you've been around,
right.
You know, but we're good. Don't worry. Don't text me again that you're sorry, because I'm going to start getting annoyed that you're asking for forgiveness, you know. But, you know, it's just so funny. All the things, you know, like life, it's beautiful, and I love my life, you know. And love my husband. I'll go ahead and say that again. I'm going to say it every time. You know, I love that man, and I appreciate him. You know, he comes home, and he puts it in us. You know, sometimes he's, I could get away with what I could get away with. You know, I have my husband. He's always guiding me and getting me where I need to be, you know, and I just appreciate it so much. And I'm looking forward to the message today. You know, I already, amen, already believe it. You know, I'm already there.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. That's wonderful.
Amen. Hear that sister get up here and brag on her husband?
Amen.
Yeah. That's great. Well, I'm just glad to be here tonight.
Amen, brother.
I tell you, it's like to rain me out there for a minute, I thought. good to be here.
Yes.
God has been good to us.
Yes, he has.
I tell you, good to have a revelation.
Yes.
Best thing ever happened to me.
Amen.
Was the revelation.
Amen. Amen.
Without a revelation, you don't understand. They're worried.
No.
You can't get the word. You can't be. I don't believe you can be born again. Because revelation is.
No.
Same. Yeah. But you have to have that word.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
And understanding.
Amen.
And all you get it. Get an understanding.
Oh, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And you can't get that without a revelation.
No, you can't.
You must have the revelation. You know, you got that right. You must be.
Amen.
Born again.
It's never changed.
Amen. You know, we talk about different things in our lives, but if you're born again, you don't have a thing to worry about.
Amen. Amen.
You are completely free.
Amen.
Yes.
From sin.
Amen.
There's no way you can sin.
Amen.
There's no way you can.
Amen.
Absolutely. You're completely free.
Amen.
Amen. He did it for you.
That's right.
He did it all. That's right.
He didn't make no mistake.
Gets the glory.
No.
And I'm grateful to him. I just appreciate him so much.
Amen.
He just put that love in our hearts. Love for one another.
Amen.
You want us to keep his commandments or you love one another.
Yeah, love one another.
Amen. Then he turned around and put that love in there for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
He
yes.
did it all.
Amen.
Provides all things.
Just appreciate him, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you all.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm an elder. I've always considered the other brothers elders, but you know, that's all right. And what I've been thinking about is, you know, surrendering.
Amen.
You know, that's what's going to get you ahead if you surrender to the will of God. You know, and just me admitting that I'm an elder, I'm surrendering to. To that, but also I know that it works. You know, if God says something, you just do it. Of course, that means you have to accept it. You know, there's a part of you that's got to die every day, and you know that surrendering is the best thing you can do. You know, to stand in line with God. You know, to stand in His perfect will. You know, God will bless you. And I know that. And there are times when I have, you know, the flesh side of me. You know, it starts to act up. But I know deep down inside,
Amen.
The best thing that I can do is just surrender to the Word of God and just go
That's
from
the
there.
Truth.
And you know, and every time I do, I'm blessed.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
And I see that in that relationship between my wife and I. You know, we go through our daily things. And I know, you know, she's subject to me. And I explain that to her, you know. And so I would expect her to surrender to the husband in that office. And but I told her at the same time I have a husband too that I have to surrender
That's
to.
You right.
know, if I go and ask for advice or you know or just sitting here and getting the word, get my answer. You know, the best thing I can do is say yes, Lord,
yes.
And you know suck it up and go with it. Sometimes, like Brother John said, you know it's not the answer you want, but it's the answer you need.
Amen.
And then the
That's
best thing the you can do. Is just surrender and just go with it.
Yes,
and God will bless you. I know that for a fact because I'm living proof.
Amen.
And I'm here
Amen.
Today because I surrendered. You know, because there was a time when, you know, the little things that I was such a perfect law-abiding citizen that if I messed up, boy, it would kill me. It would kill me. And I just couldn't figure out how I could... hear the word, but still have things out there that would pull me. But, you know, the more you feed, the more you surrender to God, you know, you overcome those things. And the more you overcome, the more you want more. And so, I, you know, one of the things that I'm going to admit a little bit here. I like to stay in the shadows, but you know what? Okay, who cares? You know, there have been times when I've been very lax about coming to church. But, you know, something that stuck with me is that, as we know that that day is approaching, that we need to assemble ourselves more. We need to be here more. You know, and for some reason, that's just never... it's never departed from me. And the more that I see the conditions out there, the more I know I need to be here every time the doors are open. So, yes, Lord, I am here. I'm surrendering. And, Lord, the more I do it, the more easy it gets. And so for that, if you're struggling, there you go. As an elder,
the same struggle.
I'm just going to throw it out.
Amen.
There it is.
Hey. Seems odd. You win this battle by surrendering. You don't just give up. You surrender and win.
You know, as he was testifying, you know, this song just on my heart. You know, I wanted to sing something because he's just been so good. I can't even put it in words sometimes. You just sit and just listen and just love it. Man, that's all I can do tonight, but I just want to sing this song. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
Up every day I live,
let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come together. Once again, we come as believers. We understand that we brought you with us, but we want to hear from you. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to just get together one more time. I love how the brother said that we should gather ourselves that much more as we see the day approaching. There's never been a group that saw it so clear that the day is approaching. Lord, we're asking that you open up our hearts and minds to receive the word tonight. Get the hearer and the speaker out of the way and just bless us with the word. Lord, we want to remember those in prayer. Remember Sister Anna. Open up her eyes. Lord, continue to open up our eyes so that we can see you all around, Lord. Lord, bless the bride body all around the world that are listening, either here or abroad. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Pastor Moore, did you want to do the update now? We'll do it at the end. Amen. He said it's mine. I'm going to take it and be done with it. Get out of the way. Amen. It's good to be here tonight. I really enjoyed the testimonies. I like when a testimony when you scotch your tires.
That's right.
You know, because when you got to battle Satan, that's just you and Satan. And you need to be able to remember what you said.
Right.
You know, it's not enough to remember what Brother Jeremiah said. He's getting through. He's making it. You got to have something for you. You know, even getting a revelation, it's not enough to see that I got a revelation.
That's right.
You got to have a revelation. So when you scotch your tires with those testimonies, you say, you know what? I see that day approaching. I need to be here. That's something that you can hold on to for yourself. And that's important to do because, you know, this world will have you going all this way and the other having you change your mind all the time. But no, God's real. He was real yesterday. He's real today. And he'll be real tomorrow. And I thank God for that. So it was good to hear the testimonies. And Brother John, you said something that was so true. You know, even though it came from a commercial, it's so true. It says, you know, the anxiety and fear, the only way to really get over those is the answer. And I was just thinking about it the whole time you said it. I thought, you know, you fear something, it's the unknown. You're fearing the unknown. You don't know what's going to happen, so you're afraid because you don't know if you had an answer. Anxiety is because you don't know what can happen, what could happen. You're building up all these hypotheticals in your mind and all these situations. But when you get the answer, you know what it is. It's like knowing the end of the movie. If you know the end of the movie, if you've taken the time to maybe read through and see what they said about what the ending is, you got a little spoiler, then when the plot twist turns and things change and the hero looks like he's about to die, I already know what's going to happen. Oh, I can choose to have anxiety. I can choose to have fear, but I know what's going to happen. So I can settle myself down just as much as I built myself up. You know, it's the same thing here. In this Bible, we've got all the answers. Now, right now, I can choose to live in fear if I want to. I can choose to have anxiety, but I've got all the answers. I know what happens to me. I know what happens to my loved ones. I shouldn't be in fear. I shouldn't even doubt anymore the promises of God because he's been so real.
Amen.
You know, talk about who he's been real to. He's been real to me. That's why I love that song, too. I really love the Lord. You don't know. You don't know what he's brought me through. You don't know what, you don't even know all the things that he's taken me through. But I know that I was lost. I know that I didn't see it. I know that I didn't have it. But now I know I have it. Now I know I got it. So just as stubborn as I was when I didn't know, oh, I'm much more now. I know what I know. Oh, you talk about it now. I said, Satan, you should have got me long time ago. Because now I know what it is. Oh, my. You know, and I'm going to take it here for a second. Listen, think about this now. Brother Jeremiah, you preached, brother.
Amen.
Talking about the mark of the beast stuff. And I thought about that, and I've been thinking about that ever since you preached it. Because I see it so clear now. I see it so clear now. I can almost understand why in those times, those people was like, you know what? Going to school don't make sense. I can see why those message believers thought it was so close to the end. There were so many things that Brother Branham had typed out. Boom, 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 boom. And even talk about the mark of the beast. There was a time that I had the privilege of reading that. Thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for letting me do that. But I thought there was a time where they said, you know, that mark of the beast, you're going to have that right hand, and they're going to take it on the head. It's going to be a chip. And basically what was going to have to happen is our money was going to have to go to a cashless system. So that way Rome could be able to bail us out with a cashless system because you had to have some unseen money.
You had gold had to be the dominant, but all the other stuff that was going to be able to fall had to depend on that. And then what happened in the 50s and the 60s? What came across? Credit cards. So you got these prophecies coming along.
Yeah.
You got Brother Branham preaching this is what's going to happen in the church. And the message believers are going, well, it's credit cards right now. This unseen money. This money's going around. So in their mind, they're looking at it and go, well, the 70s coming then, because initially when it was credit cards, it was just for certain areas.
Right.
So it looked like it was just a select group, and it's taken over now. But before it was just a select group, then banks started finally slowly adopting it, and then it just took off. And now you saw through COVID, you couldn't give somebody money. You couldn't give them cash, and now they're like, I don't want cash. I don't want change, cash, or nothing. They want unseen money.
Amen.
They want unseen money so much so that that's what's going to be our demise, is that we don't even have an actual a quantifiable way of counting our money. We're going to have it all somewhere else. So that was just another way that I saw that, and I thought, man, I could almost see how they saw those things, the signs of the times going on. But if they knew how bad it would get, they would have settled down a little bit. If they knew what was going to happen, they thought, if they could see what we see now, the end is much closer now. The end is much closer now, but we still plant our potatoes. I still got to get to the house. I don't have enough understanding that I don't need God no more. I don't have enough word that I don't need to come to church no more. I ain't been preached too long enough that I don't need a pastor no more. See, we got a balance now. Now, see, when you get grace and truth, this should bring a balance. I love how your brother Jeremiah said, they don't argue with one another. Grace and truth, they don't conflict. You bring grace and truth, this should dovetail together. I have a balance. Oh, I know I'm the final voice of the final age. Oh, I understand that without me, they can't be made perfect. I understand that the God in me better agree with the God in you, or you don't have it. That's how much I believe it. But as much as I know that, I better become subservient to that word of God. When he speaks, I should just say, yay and amen, and quickly. See, I like that he put that in there too, because y'all so much, this world will have you thinking that you got an opinion. This world will have you thinking that we want to hear your thought. This world is thinking that you think you have a right to say something. You don't have a right to say something when God speaks. When God says go left, you better turn left as fast as you can, because that's the only direction that we're going. It's yay and amen. See, I like to put the Bible in there. That's yes, yes, sir. You're putting yes, sir, on everything that he says. You know what? Because so often that and saying that yes, sir, help you keep the right respect that you need to even have. Oh yeah, they would demand it. I was in the army. Yeah, and in the beginning, I was down there just a little whippersnapper, and they say, Pickens, that's what they call, do this. I will. What? Yeah. What? I got in a lot of trouble for that. I got real strong down there in Kentucky. It was push-ups after push-ups after push-ups. Because I saw that when I was saying that, it was a little bit of a tinge of disrespect.
Yes, sir.
That I didn't believe that what they said was the right way to go. There was a tinge of disrespect that I was not agreeing with the leadership. When you agree with the leadership, it'd be, yes, yes, Lord, I can't wait to go that direction. Yes, Lord, I know you've got my best interest at heart.
Right.
See, when you get in here, it better be yes, yes, sir. Why? It's going to help you. It humbles you and it helps you. Now I've got a little bit of age about me. I can look back on it and I go, now here it was. The military had paid all this money to bring me down there, to take care of me. They fed me. They guarded me. They protected me. If they just wanted me to go to the mess hall at 5 o'clock, why was I even complaining? Why would you even want to look back at it and say anything? That's how it was with the children of Israel when they were coming out with Moses.
Right.
He took care of them the whole time, provided light by the day, gave them food, and gave them everything, took them out of captivity. And they still want to look over and go, maybe, yeah, I don't know. It should have been yes, sir, the whole time through. Now, with that understanding that they had, that understanding that I had in the military, think about what God has done for you, what he's brought you through, how he's constantly been guiding you, constantly been taking care of you. It should be so much easier to just say, yes, Lord, you got it. Oh, my. It's easy to be subservient. In the world, the church world has made that a negative term. It's easy to submit. You make it hard. You make it hard. Women make it hard because you got your idea. Us brothers make it hard because we think we got a better way. But you don't have a better way, and we don't need your idea. When God says something, let's just do it.
What does the Bible say? If God be God, then just serve him. Yes. Just serve him. It doesn't say then lead him. It doesn't say then guide him. It doesn't say then talk back. It says when if God be God, then just serve him. If you can recognize that God has been in your life, then let's just serve him. Yes. That's what church is for. We come here for the opportunity just to say thank you. Amen. That's what I'm here for tonight, to just say thank you for what you've already given me. Right. Oh, I'm going to preach here, but I don't have no new doctrine. I'm going to preach here, but I don't have no new revelation. I'm going to preach here, but I don't have a new book to bring you. I don't have new scriptures to bring you. I don't have new quotes to bring you. We're coming to say thank you for what you've already done. Oh, my. When you find out that you've been sealed, you're waking up to the fact of what he's already done.
Amen.
He didn't just seal me now. I've been sealed before the foundation of the world. Right. I wake up to that fact, and then I'm able to rejoice in it.
Amen.
Oh, my. Yeah. Don't we serve a good God?
Amen.
We serve a good God. Amen. That's why I get so stirred up. I'm looking like, my goodness, do you know what you got?
Come on.
Do you know what you got?
Come on.
I mean, we can say, oh, I see God did this in my life. I see God did this in my life. It's like, how many do you need to see God in your life before you, that's God? Come on, doubting Thomases. I don't need to see the cuts in his side. I don't need to see the nail holes in his hand. Haven't he been with you so long that you know who he is? By now you should understand that the words of eternal life flow here so freely. You couldn't stop it if you wanted to. Oh, my. Let's read a scripture before I get myself in trouble, because I'm happy to be here. And that's what I love about our church. I want you to only talk about yourself. Don't tell me that you know somebody else got a revelation. I don't know if they got one. You tell me about yours.
Amen.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Who do you say that I am? Yeah, don't tell me what the rest of the people say. Oh, my. We got a saying there where they say, back your mail from where you're at. Don't send it from my address. Send it from your own.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read over here. We're going to read St. John, and it's chapter 6. And then I'm going to lay the scripture in here, and then we'll get going through it. For Jesus, and this is verse 64. And he starts off, and he says, but there are some of you that believe not. I like how it says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So you're telling me that in the beginning God knows who he wants. Is there scriptures for that? Where you got any other example? You know, when you're doing a good paper, Brother Dwayne's a doctor. He wrote some thesis. You better have some references. Don't just give me what Wikipedia said. You better get some real stuff. Where's some other references? What did God say to Jacob and Esau? Before they had done good or evil. What did he say to them when they were formed in their mother's womb? Said, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. He knew who would have respect for the word. He knew who would have respect for that birthright before they came out of the womb. So you're telling me that God's people are sealed before the world. They're sealed before they even get here. You're telling me that God's people are taken care of before they're even born naturally? You're telling me that God's people are sealed before they did good or evil? You'd have to say it. You'd have to say that God's people are sealed. That's my title tonight. I'm sealed. I know I'm sealed. See, I woke up to the fact that there is no matter how good I am, no matter how bad I am. And let me slide this in there. I want you to listen to the word of God right when he says it. When God gives you a direction, that's the best thing you should do, is you should do it. But guess what? If I mess it up, if I don't listen, God's still going to get his man. If I don't follow the directions all the way the first time he says it, God's still going to get his man. Brother Jay, is some precedent for that? Yes, there is, brother. Let's go over to the book of Jonah. Let's talk about that story for a little bit. God came down to Jonah, and he said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. God sent him a word. God spoke to him. God don't speak to everybody. The word came down to Jonah and told him what to do. We know the story, but yeah, when you see what I'm about to bring out here, Brother Jeremiah, you're gonna love it too. Because when I saw this, I was like, oh, I had never seen that before like that. So we know the story of Jonah. We'll go over a little bit, just to make sure you guys got all the key points here and what we're building here. But the story of Jonah, God came and told Jonah what to do. Jonah said, nah. I believe God. I believe there is a God. I serve God all this time. I don't want to do it. So Jonah goes in a different direction. Gets on a boat. So much so, he's going in the opposite direction. Jonah gets on that boat. And you know what you do when you procrastinate and you lay down. So Jonah took a nap. The boat started tossing and turning. Everybody on it's like, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Here's what they said to do. They said, listen, everybody start praying to whoever God you got. I want you to pray to your God. I'm going to pray to my God. You pray to your God. One of the gods got to answer this. We got to be saved. Let's make sure that everybody on the boat is praying to their God. That's how the story goes. That's how it is in there. You read the book of Jonah. This is exactly word for word what's going on. So everybody prayed to their God. And it's like, wasn't there other people on here? Who else is missing? Well, that Jonah guy, he's downstairs sleeping. Go get him. Go get him. He needs to pray to his God too. Jonah gets up there, sees what's going on. He goes, uh-oh. I know what's going on here, fellas. And they go, well, Jonah, how do you know? He says, because I serve the God of the land and the sea. My God's over all of this. And they go, well, you better talk to him. Tell him don't kill us. And Jonah's like, it ain't going to work. Best thing you could do? We're going in the wrong direction, fellas. I need to be back there. The best thing you could do, throw me overboard. No, Jonah, we're going to keep you. We're going to try to save you, Jonah. Storm got worse and worse. Jonah was like, I told you. They was like, okay, we're going to cast lots then. Let's see if whoever really needs to get thrown over. Cast lots, and it came to Jonah again. They were like, well, I mean, we tried everything we could. Whoosh. Throw Jonah over immediately when Jonah hits the water. Settles the seas. They see that. Now, we know the rest of the story. God had provided a fish to pick up Jonah. Had already. That's what I love about that. He had already provided a way for Jonah. But here's the part of the story that I kept skipping over, because I just went right to Jonah. But guess what happened? So they, and on verse 15 it says, so they took up Jonah, cast him forth in the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. They changed the God that they were serving before. They saw a real God. They saw something that was real. So even in the midst of Jonah messing up, he saved some people. God still had some work to do. Matter of fact, God was going to save those people no matter what. They were going to be on the boat with Jonah no matter what. Had Jonah decided to go to Nineveh, they would have been on the boat. Had Jonah decided to go the direction, they were still going to be on the boat. God had already saw those people giving their heart to him. Oh, my. What are you saying, Brother Jay? I'm saying Jonah was a bad boy. Jonah messed up. Jonah went the wrong way, but God still got the gold out of it. God still got everything he was going to get out of it. Now, if you ask Jonah, would he rather went to go another way? Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm sure he would rather not have been in the belly of that fish. I'm sure he'd rather not have been cast into the water, because when he got thrown in the water, he thought he was dying. That's right. Yeah. When he got swallowed up by the fish, he thought he was dead. It wasn't until he realized that he wasn't dead that he said, well, if I got time, I might as well pray. Sense of desperation kicks in. He knew who the real God was. He knew where his real God was. He knew the real God, that if he had an opportunity, just once more, Lord, like Brother Brandon preached that message, even when we're talking about Samson, just once more, Lord, if you get me out of here, I'll make sure I take care of your job. Now, you can go on and keep reading. Jonah was a knucklehead all the way home. But he still got the job done. He got the job done. And I like to put that in there, because Satan will have you thinking, oh, you don't do this like they do. You don't do that like they do. You don't say this like they do. No. I listen to the word. I got a word from the Lord, and I'm going to follow that. Oh, brother, you should do this better. Probably should. Oh, brother, you should do that better. I probably should. I'm not going to doubt that. I don't doubt that. If I don't pay my, I like to use this, if I don't pay my bills on time, I should pay them on time. Because you know what? The world will have you thinking that this church is greasy grace and do whatever you want. No, we got some of the finest people you ever met. We got valedictorians, employee of the month, some best leaders, best. We got award winners. We got it all in here. And so if you don't listen, that's on you. If you're unemployed, it's on you. If you don't know how to pay bills, that's on you. If you don't know how to balance a budget, that's on you. If you don't know how to work, that's on you. The opportunities are here.
Amen.
God has spoken the word. You have a chance to pick up the word, but that's just in the natural. See, I like to leave that where that is, because the church world will make you think that the natural is going to mess up the spiritual. God's going to get his job done no matter what he's got to do.
Amen.
If he's got to break my leg, he'll break my leg. If he got to put me in the belly of a fish, he'll put me in the belly of a fish.
Amen.
But guess what I'll do? No matter where you find me, I'm going to be able to agree with the word no matter where I'm at. If I made my bed in hell, he would still be there.
Amen.
See, the church world will have you thinking God comes and goes, that God leaves you, God forsakes you. He said he'll never leave me. He said he'll never forsake me.
Amen.
So how are you going to tell me that I'm going to lose it? How are you going to tell me that I'm going to break the seal? How are you going to tell me that I'm not one of them? How are you going to tell me that I'm not a believer? There's nothing that I can do that'll prove that I'm not a believer except walk away from the word. And if you're a believer, you can't walk away from the word. Like Brother Lockett said, I can't sin. I can't disagree with the word. The words won't even come out of my mouth. I can only agree. My soul only has that one inlet. It's to agree with the word. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. That's what he saw me do.
Amen.
You know that's the only way God judges his people? Is by what they do with the word?
Amen.
Oh, Brother Jay, no. He looks at other stuff. What does he look at then? Tell me.
Right.
Tell me what he looks at. You back that mail up. You show me through the Bible where God was looking at anything other than what you did with the word.
Right.
Disciples, terrible people. They said Jesus hang with the publicans. And tax collectors and wine bibbers. That's drunk, alcoholic, mean people. That's who Jesus hung with. It didn't stop him from getting his job done. It didn't stop him at all from getting the job done. And I, you know, because see, this world, and Sister Elise, you said it right. It's not even the world. It's the church world. The church world has created this weird system. That's the trouble, Brother Don, is that the church world doesn't want you to agree with the word. They can't pick up the word, so they don't want you to have the word. When I say that I see God, they say that's impossible.
Right.
How is it impossible to see God? I see the words of God coming out of the man's mouth. That's God.
Amen.
How else am I supposed to judge it? It said these are the things that shall follow those signs. Oh, if I saw healing, that's a great first step. But if I saw the discernment, that's a good second step. But I need to hear the word of God. Healing ain't going to be enough. Discernment won't be enough. I need to see the words of God coming out of there. And that is by how I'll know that God dwells there. That's how I'll see God. Oh, I can't follow that person home and see what TV shows they watch. That don't matter. It doesn't even matter. And I can't say it enough, because you get so caught up in things that get in your way. Lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. That's because the word of God is greater than anything. This promise that we have, this revelation that we have, that we're sealed in, is greater than anything you could have ever got. Oh, Brother Jay, what does it mean to be sealed? It means that I'm eternally secure. That means that, you know what? Sister Elise, you said it. You said, sometimes we don't realize what we know. This is ABC. This is Sunday school right here. To be sealed means that you have to have a piece of God in you. So if you have a piece of God in you, that piece of God will agree with the word every time. And if you have a piece of God in you, that means that you're eternal. And if you're eternal, that means you're going to heaven. And if you're going to heaven, there's nothing that's going to pluck you out of the hands of God. Because he said, all that the Father hath given me will come. He said, no man can go to heaven except he that came from heaven, even the Son of Man. So if I've got a piece of me that came from heaven, guess where it's got to go? Back to heaven. Oh, that confounds them. They go, well, how can you be a man? It's the same thing they said to Jesus. Make yourself equal to God. How can you have the power to forgive sin? Woo! See, only God has the power to forgive sin. Oh, and we love it, because I can even go a little bit higher on that now that I got a revelation on it. I never sinned. Woo! See, Brother Branham said, he said, oh, yeah, you say you're justified. I didn't do it. Don't forgive me. I'm not even forgiving sin. I don't even see it. I never did it. That first man's died. Sin has died. I've never sinned. Oh, see, now you get a revelation on that. Now I can walk a little higher. Now I can strut my stuff and say, yeah, when you see me, you see God. There's no dark part on me. I'm all white. See, you look through there, that's the church world, is the dark. That's not even representing the world. And that was a revelation to me, because in my head I thought, oh, that's the whole world. And there's the 15 believers in the beginning. That's the whole world. And then there's the 14 believers. And now in Columbus Day, it's only 10 believers. No, that's the church. Amen. That's the church. Amen. Had nothing to do with the world. God ain't even looking at the world. No. World been gone. He's not knocking on the door of the world. No. He was knocking on the door of the church. Amen. And said, come out of her, my people. Woo! What people is that? His own. Who did he come to redeem? His own. Oh, that's why even Brother Branham said he's going to be over there singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. See, the church world will have you thinking that you could have never been a wreck. That you had to always be perfect. No, that's a Nicodemus spirit. I've been doing all this from my youth. My parents did this. My this did that. Okay, sell all you got and follow me. Can't do it. Yeah. See, the church world, they can't get rid of everything they had. Went to the Catholic Church and said, hey, listen, Pope, you don't speak for Christ. I don't even know if you can get there. Maybe I should have started sooner. Said, we don't need gold in here. Maybe we don't need stained glass windows. Maybe we don't need the prayer things. Maybe we don't need to do the communion this way. Maybe we don't need to baptize like this. Maybe we need... You start going through all those traditions, they go, nah, we'd rather keep them. We'd rather keep them. And you say, Brother Jay, you're speaking hard. No, I'm telling you the truth. That's what church people do. That's what they've done all the way through. What did they do when they had Jesus? The one you love. The one you, when we say Christ-like, that's to be like Christ. When they had the choice between Christ and Barabbas, what did they say? Give us Barabbas. That's what they wanted the whole time through. That's what they want the whole time through. That's what they want now. Amen. Now they want leaders that don't want anything to do with God. They don't want schools to have anything to do with God. They don't want parents to have anything to do with God. They don't want teaching to have anything to do with God. Matter of fact, they'll call you a cult the second you start talking about God. You start thinking about any type of deity and they want to denominate you and set you off and call you weird. That's why when I get the opportunity to come around other believers, I say, thank you, Lord, that I know that you are real. Oh, when I get out there by myself around those crazy people, sure I'll keep my peace. Sure I'll be as smart. Sure I'll be as harmless as a dove and wise as a serpent. But when I get the chance to come around believers, please don't mind me. Just let me praise him for a little bit. Oh, I'm like that brother, that story of Brother Branham. When he saw that man, he said, where's the revival at? Hold my mule. The revival's right here. Right here. When you want to know where the rapture is, it's right here. Amen. When you know what you want to know where God is, he's right here. Amen. Oh, my, because we've been sealed. See, when you understand that you're sealed, see, that's why this term is so important. Because even in the simplest statement, sealed means it's closed. That means I can't get out and nothing else can get in. Let's make sure we understand that. Because when God closed the door, and Noah's a perfect type of this. When God closed the door, nobody else could get on the boat. Now, that's why I like to use this as a type, because when Noah was preaching to those people, he preached for a long time. A long time. 120 years. Telling them it's going to rain. Noah, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy the whole time. Plenty of time to get on the boat. Plenty of time to get on the boat. They could have lived on the boat. They saw the animals come. Still crazy. There was nothing in them that they were going to accept the word of God. God tells Noah, just put 8 chairs. Lord, I'll probably need more. Well, if you need more, we'll get some more. Going ahead on in. Noah goes in, sits down. They're sitting there for a little bit. Then the door closes. Noah didn't close the door. See, that's why I love this type, because it's perfect. Amen. We've been preaching this word for a long time. Come and see a man. Come see a man. Come see a prophet. Most vindicated prophet of all time. Come see the word. Come see the word. Then we start preaching the word, and Brother Branham said, you brothers, take this and break it down. So that means what Brother Branham was bringing, we had an opportunity to break it down to make it even easier to pick up, to make it even easier to understand, to make it even easier to see the type. You didn't have to go back and read this and read that. We're going to break it down and make it even easier. So we're coming out here and saying, we're going to make it so easy. This message is going to go from the east to the west. We'll go all over the world. We'll put it online. We'll make it free. We'll send you the tapes. We'll send you the books. And you know what they said? You're crazy. I don't want to hear it. I don't want it. So now we come here and we get to the point where Brother Childers even said it. He said, saving time is over. Amen. You know what God did? Close the door. We didn't close that door. We just woke up to the fact that the door was closed. Amen. Now what we should do, saints, is rejoice that we're sitting here together. Now see, this is what I love about that story. In the beginning, when God closed the door, it hadn't started to rain yet. It hadn't started to rain yet. So in their minds, they could have had anxiety, Brother John. They could have had fear because the door was closed. They're sealed in. But guess what? All it took was the first few drops of rain. All it took was a little bit of sprinkling of that water coming down. And guess what the world wanted to do? Get on the boat. Too late now. But guess what they should have been able to do? The people that were on the boat, rejoice. Praise God that I'm sealed in. Oh, when I see it going crazy, when I hear the rain, so to speak, oh, I don't get nervous and think I'm going to get wet and think I'm going to pass away. I look and say, thank God you got me in all light. I'm sitting here in Goshen with no wants, no worries, with all the answers. Oh, see, that's what it means to be sealed in. That means I can't leave. See, I like to say it like that. I can't go nowhere. I can't go nowhere. God sealed me in here. God shut the door on me. God said, this is your home. He can make it as hot as he wants it. Pastor can preach my name at every service. He can tell me this and tell me that. And you know what I have to do? Where else am I going to go? I'm sealed in. We might as well just figure out how to work together because I'm going to be here for the long haul. Amen. There's only so many seats, and one of them got my name on it. Amen. He brought me here. He brought me here. Oh, I didn't know where Fairborn was. Oh, I didn't know how this was going to take care of. But guess what? He always provides. Amen. He always provides. When Brother Childers was building that house, he had no clue that a little black family from Dayton was going to need to live there. Had no clue. But guess what? God was building that for me. Getting it set up for me. He knew that when the world was going to get rid of and toss me off the boat, whoa, when they were going to throw me overboard, he had a fish waiting for me. Oh my, when I was as bad as I could be at 16, bad as I could be at 18, and the world wanted to just throw me overboard, Brother Childers had already built that fish. Boom. Got me in here. Now I'm here and you can't get rid of me. Amen. I've seen God move too much. Yeah. You can't get rid of me. Yeah. And guess what? I can't get rid of you. Oh, I like saying that too. Oh, yeah. I like to put Satan on notice. I can't get rid of you. Yeah. You can't get rid of me. And I can't get rid of you. That's how we can say there should be no divorce in the eighth day. Right. Why? You should be dealing with believers. Amen. That are both sealed in. Right. Woo! Amen. My, this turns me on because I see myself. Oh, yeah. Oh, I see myself. You talk about, oh, I love the Lord. I see what he did for me. Right. Oh, my. Amen. See, you, like you said, Sister Glorious, you don't know what he's brought me through. Oh, you can guess. You can presume. You can say, oh, you told a story about this. You must have went through that. You told a story about this. You must have went through that. Oh, I'm giving you the highlights. You're not getting all the cheese of the story. You don't even know how dark it got. You don't know how lonely I thought I was. You don't know how messed up and confused I was. You don't know how turned around I was. But now I got a man that turned on the lights. Woo! When I didn't know there was a God, somebody said, I'll show you where he's at. When I didn't even know what God sounded like, he said, listen to my voice. When I didn't even know where to read for the word of God, he said, I'll show you the words. When I didn't have an understanding, he said, I'll give you one.
Amen.
Oh, I kept taking in that word, and I thought, well, who's going to quicken it? I'll quicken it for you. Woo! That's it. It's all him. That's why I can praise him like I do, because he's the one that did it. Oh, he saw that there was a believer here. He knew he had something good to work with. But he's been doing this the whole way through. Oh, my, my, my. See, because this world will have us trying to kick each other out. You can't. Most you're going to get is a different seat in the church. Still there. Have out with me, sit on that side, I'll sit over there. Until the ministry notices and they'll push us back together. I've seen them do that. We've had services in here, Brother Eric, and they'll go, hey, y'all sitting in the wrong spots. Change it up. You know what God saw? Spirit. Saw y'all trying to divide. Say, you're getting too comfortable over there. Move it. Oh, and if you go, oh, I don't like to touch anybody. I don't want to shake hands. God will say, why don't you walk around and hug a little bit? Why don't you go ahead and hug your brother and sister a little bit? You know what God's seeing, that little spirit on you? He's letting you know you ain't got nowhere to go. You better get comfortable. You better settle in. Guess what? It's raining out there, bub. Oh, until you realize it's raining, you think you want to be out there. Oh, when Noah was on the boat and the door shut, it was still a clear day. It was perfect weather, 72, nice and cool breeze. They had never seen rain. So that means they had never had precipitation. That means they didn't have snow. They had perfect weather. So when the door got closed, it looks nice out there. That's how you are sometimes when you come in here. You're still trying to straddle that fence. Oh, the world kind of looks nice out there. They get to do everything. They do more. They have more fun than I have. They get to go out more than I get to go out. Nah, sit still for a second. Here comes the rain. Hold your peace a little bit. When we start preaching and you start seeing what crazy world you're living in, when the lights get turned on and you get waking up to your pure mind and you see how late of the hour it is, you go, praise God that I'm in here. Amen. Praise God I serve a real God that I can get a hold of. Oh, I don't want to serve an unknown God. I don't want to serve a son God. I don't want to serve a car God. I don't want to serve a job God. I want to serve the real God. Amen. I want to serve the God of today. I want to serve the God of tomorrow. I want to serve the God of forever. That's the God I want to serve. Oh, my, my, my. I like to make sure that we understand that when we say you're a believer, it's because you picked up the Word of God.
Right.
Has nothing to do with anything else. Because anything that you can measure is garbage. It's garbage. It's just garbage. Oh, I've read 1,000 message books. I'm still working on my pilgrimage. And I'm going to read another 100. And then I always read the Bible, all 66 books every year, me and the kids. It's garbage. I'm glad you do read it. I'm glad you got the reference. And in there, you should pick up the fact that this is God talking to you. When you go through there, you should pick up the fact that there's somebody that's breaking it down to you. Because you need to be, when you go through there, go to that story, that Ethiopian that was reading, and they said, do you understand the words that you're reading? He said, how can I? How can I? Oh, I can read all I want. This Bible's been here for thousands of years. How can I understand the words unless somebody preaches it? So that's the highest order that it gets. That's the most highest order that it gets. See, what happens is the church world, all together, they're not wrong initially. They're doing what God did. They're staying there. And they denominate. Oh, God went behind the badger skin. He's going to be there. And they just keep going. When God moves, they don't move. They stay right there. Oh, God was in the Lutheran church. God had moved there. But he kept moving. God was in the Pentecostal movement, but he kept moving. See, with the world, the church world, they want to stay there. They get stagnant. They get wiggle-tail. They want to store things up because they don't know when God's going to show up again. But when you know you got God, I can make it on the rock. I know the Creator's here. I know the I Am is here. Oh, I don't need manna to fall from the sky. He can bring fishes over here if I need it. Oh, I don't need a job if he's going to bring, he can bring money in the belly of a fish if he needs to. Oh, I don't have to worry about transportation. See, when you know the answers, it should let you stop worrying about everything. Oh, you need to have that. That's why I love how the Bible even says that childlike faith. Do you think that a baby is worrying about how they're going to get food? Are they adding up the cost of formula? Figuring out how many bottles need to be washed, how many diapers need to be changed, how much that Pampers cost, what the playroom's going to be like. No, it just better be there.
That's right.
When I cry out, you better feed me.
Amen.
That's childlike faith. When I have a need, I just speak it. I don't worry about the cost. I don't worry about what it's going to take to get it. I don't worry about the preparation that's needed to do it. Oh, you know what? Brother Childers probably lost money letting me and my family live in that house. But that was the best thing he could have did for us. That was his best investment. I'm still here. There's plenty of people that he's rented to before that ain't still here. I'm still here. I'm pushing this message forward. That's what he really would want. That's what he really want to see. Somebody getting behind Pastor Moore and bringing this word. Oh, he would have built 100 houses to get that going. See, that's the real thing. When you see what's real, all that other stuff fades away. Oh, money fades. Problems fade. This fade. That fade. When you stand on something solid, oh, you shouldn't be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine. You should be steadfast and unmovable. With what we get here, we should be the most solid people. The most solid people there ever was. Oh, I get that you want to go through your own problems, but you better be strong enough to get out.
Yes, sir.
Better be strong enough to get out. There we go, Brother Jay, what do you mean? I'm saying that the God in you should be strong enough now that you can get out of your own problems. This is adulthood now. You know, Pastor Morris preached, they said, we don't even want you if you got diapers. Nah, there used to be a time we say if you were taking diapers off, you shouldn't be in diapers now. Amen. You're an adult now. It'd be silly if you were an adult, you walk around in diapers, you go, what's going on there? Can't control yourself. I can control myself now. I know if I make a mess, I can figure it out. I can clean it up myself. I know how I got in that mess. I clearly saw what Satan was trying to do. I wasn't tricked. I wasn't fooled. I wasn't bamboozled. I saw him coming a long way off. I saw him get in the car. I saw him drive here. I saw him park. I let him in the door, and I entertained him.
Amen.
That's how much I see Satan. I see him afar off.
Amen.
He don't sneak up on me.
No,
I still narrowly look upon him right now.
Amen.
Matter of fact, so much so that when I do get myself in a mess, I go, I ain't got to stay here. I get up. It's time to go. I got places to be. God's got a job he wants done. And that word calls to me, and it just gets me right where I need to be. That's why this is the house of correction. Because without it, you'd be led astray. You need correction. While you're on this side, you need correction. It's important. That it's needful. You got to have it. Matter of fact, one of the testaments is that you honor your father and mother. One of the commandments with promise.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody needs to be, and even there, go back in there, it says, don't spare the rod.
That's right.
So by honoring your father and mother, you're going to be listening.
That's
that means you're going to be getting corrected.
Yes, sir.
That's one of the first the commandments with promise.
Amen.
That's what you should do in here.
Amen.
You should understand that this thing is only here to help you.
Right.
This word is only here to help you.
Amen.
That's why the prescription is the same. Get to the house. Amen. Why? That's the only way I can help you. That's the only way the word can help you is if you get the word. The word is,
amen.
You know, too often we see these made up theologians, and they want to get off somewhere quiet. And I understand being quiet for a little bit. I get that. Before services, sometimes I want a little quiet.
Right.
If I'm studying, maybe I want a little bit quiet. But it can't be quiet all the time. God didn't want it quiet all the time. Matter of fact, he made the angels first. Like, y'all go ahead and praise me. Praise me. It's too quiet up here. Start singing a little bit. Tell me how good I am. Let's get the band going. It can't be quiet all the time. Let me hear a little praising going on. Talk about how good it is. Oh, I can get off to myself a little bit, but don't stay there. Don't think that's how you're going to get closer to God. This is going to get the distractions off of you. But once you get them off of you, you should wake up to the fact that God's here.
Amen.
Oh, I don't stay in my studies all day. Eventually, I want to come in here and share a little bit with you. Oh, I don't stay off to myself all the time. I want to come in and share a little bit with you. Don't stay off to yourself all the time. Come in here and share a little bit with us.
Amen.
That's why it's important to get to the house. I love what Brother Warren said. He said, oh, it was a time that I was lax on it. I'm glad he's here now.
Yeah.
He's a help. He can help out now.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need people that we can depend on.
Yeah.
People that we can lean on. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to make him that much stronger.
Yeah.
The more I put my weight on him, he's going to have to support it.
Right.
He's going to have to push back.
Right.
He's going to have to push back. That's going to make him stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
Guess what? That won't be his testimony next week. It'll be, you know who I touched? You know who I dealt with? You know who I helped? You know who needed to touch God? That's how this thing works the whole way through. Saints, we're sealed in this thing. You know, we've preached, Pastor Moore, you talk about the God of this world. We talk about the God in us, the mark of the beast. Guess what, saints? It's bad out there. It's raining. Praise God, I'm sealed in. When you got to wake up to the fact that you're sealed in here. Because if you once you wake up to that, saints, there's nothing that anybody can say to you that can take you off of that, that can move you off of that. They go, oh, Brother Jay, you need to be better. Okay. Maybe I'll get better. Maybe I won't. But I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm serving God because I want to. Let me start there. Do you know how much of a desire has to be here to get me here? You know what I had to overcome to get here? You think your messy little statement's going to throw me off? No. I done came through too much to let somebody that don't know tell me what's going on. I know God moved in this life. That's how you need to be strong like that. Don't let anybody take you off your post. Don't let anybody, you know, even Brother Childers, he would do that. He'd say, I'm the only one going. I'm the only one going. I'm the only one going. And if you don't know that you're going, you know what you're going to sit there and do? Well, maybe he is the only one going. Maybe he, yeah, I don't talk like him. Maybe he is going. But when you know you're going, you can yell just right out when he says, I'm the only one going. Amen, brother. You are one of them. Right. Not the only one. You are one of them. Oh, it's you and me then. It's you and me then. Why? And he would want you to say that. Pastor Moore would want you to say that. Pastor Moore once made the statement. He said, my whole church is coming with me. See? See these little nuggets? When you're still here, guess what you get to do? Enjoy it. Oh, this ain't a rebuke when I say it. When he said, my whole church is coming with me. They're all going with me. Oh, there was a time. See, now, if you're not here, it's going to be a rebuke to you. But to me, I'm sealed in. I'm in here. I'm still here. I am here. Yes, I'm going with you. Yes, I'm one of them. Oh, that's a different song I'm singing. But if you don't know what's going on, then when he makes that statement, you go, how can he take his whole church? He doesn't even know how bad they are. That's what people say. They don't know either. You don't know how bad I am either. I'm the only one who knows how bad I am. That's why I praise God that he gave me grace. That's why I praise God that he gave me this eternal salvation. That's why I praise God in advance. Because I've seen what he's already done. Oh, see, so the church world will look at that and they go, oh, you don't know this. You don't know that. I don't need to know that. I don't need to know this. I serve the Creator. I serve the I Am. There was no light, and God said, let there be. When God said, let my church come on, I said, yes, Lord, just like the rest of the elements. When God speaks it, everything has to scramble to make it happen. Oh, when he said, I'm taking my church, if you didn't have a clear understanding, guess what God was obligated to do? Give you one. Amen. Give you one. And give you one. Guess if you saw, oh, I don't know. I don't know. God was obligated to settle that for you because he said my church is going. Amen. You can't go without a new birth. So he had to give you one. Amen. And if he gave you one, that means you already had one. Amen. That means he already saw it. He had already saw this group of people together. Amen. Why would you not want to praise God with this group? Amen. Why would you not want to love this group? How could you have a problem with your brothers and sisters now when you understand that God put us together, so fitly joined together so that we can edify each other? Amen. Oh, my. Don't be a cancer. Don't be a cancer. That's what cancers do in the body. It fights against itself. Cell against cell. Don't be a cancer. I even love how even Brother Branham said. He said, once they get, when you get that group together, not even cancer. Everything just, oh, not even cancer can stand against this. Oh, my. We don't serve three groups in here. It's not a make-believer, unbeliever, and a believer. It's only believers in here. That's how hot we keep it. Just men and women that are serving God. Oh, you don't know. Brother Branham said this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And it will happen. Oh, Brother Branham said that no bobbed hair women will be in heaven. They won't be. They won't be. I'm not taking this flesh. I hope you're not taking yours. I'm not taking mine. I don't want any of this. I don't want any of this. This thing needs too much work. I want something that's all God, all in all. Give me something glorified. I want something glorified, not touched by man's hands. Give me that body that you have already prepared for me. Oh, what did Jesus say? He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. See? Oh, my. Do you believe it? God bless you. Pastor Moore, come on up.
If you weren't sealed in when you got here, You should be sealed in now. Because it's really simple. It's God chose you from before the foundation of the world. God selected you. Do you realize you are selected of God? Elected of God. Chosen by Him. And He wanted to make sure that you are going to be able to do what He wants you to do. Because remember, He already declared the end from the beginning.
Amen.
So He already knew you would, when you come across the word, you would love it.
Amen.
And He's not giving you eternal life because you are going to enjoy the word. He knows what you're going to do with the word. So He gave you a little bit of Himself.
Yeah.
A little bit of Himself. Because He wanted you to go back with Him. Amen. And the only way that you can go back with Him is to have a little bit of Himself in you.
Amen.
Because if you didn't come from God,
can't go back.
You're not going back to God. Brother Branham said that seed germ in there might lie there a long time. But if that seed come from God, somewhere along the line, you're going to run across the word. That's why Jesus said, I have needs to go by. Because God's word has to cross the seed.
Amen.
And when He crosses the seed, what He does is He quickens the seed. And when that seed is quickened, you are sealed.
Amen.
Until the day of your redemption. That's what seals you. It's the quickened seed, because that seed is God Himself. It's not you with the anointing of God on you. You died. And God Himself is living in your flesh.
Amen.
And that's the thing that seals, that's what seals you in, is because when God moves in, He doesn't move out. That's why you can't get in and lose Him. You might do things to displease Him. You might do things that He'll have to rebuke you over and over and over. He'll do a lot of things to you. But if He ever seals you, because He kills your old nature and moves in Himself. And you can't go back.
No.
Brother Branham said He doesn't put that old nature on a shelf for an occasion.
No.
That first husband, that's why Romans 7 says the first husband must die. Because and it wasn't even worrying about marriage and divorce.
No.
Everybody's so stuck on marriage and divorce and thinking they make a big deal of marriage and divorce, but marriage and divorce is just a type. The reality of it is that it was Christ in His church.
Amen.
And the first husband, that first nature, must die. And once he's dead, that second nature is God Himself. And that second nature will never die. Because it's God. He's eternal. That's what gives you eternal life. It's God Himself living in your flesh. And that's what seals you in. Your flesh is not sealed in. Your spirit is not sealed in. Your soul is sealed in.
Amen.
Because your flesh is going to go back to the dust where it come from. Your spirit's going to go back to God that gave it. But your soul's going to live on eternally, because it is an eternal part of God.
Amen.
It's God Himself. It's God Himself. And that's who's living in you. That's why you're sealed in. You can't lose it. You can't drop it. You can't mess it up enough that He's going to walk away from you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I mean, His word's true. When you're born again, I don't care how rough your life is. I don't care how many hell holes you go into. If you're a seed of God, a born again Christian of God, then God will be with you through it all.
Amen.
David said, if I make my bed in hell, He's going to be right there. People don't understand how that works. It works because God's in there. Wherever I go, God goes. Wherever I go, when I go to work, who goes to work with me? God. When I go home, when I get in my car to drive home, that's going to be God going to my house. It really is His house. Because Nate's dead. The same fire that burned out my old nature is the same fire that's going to burn out every nature. Only thing is, I got mine now. They'll get theirs later. Thank God for the sealing. Thank God that He seals us in. And don't let the devil ever tell you you lost God. That's like, have you ever tried to get away from your shadow? I did when I was a kid. I just knew I could outrun it. You can't lose it. Every time you turn around, it's right there. Everywhere you go, it's right there. No matter where I go, it's right there. That's God's better than your shadow. God's closer than your shadow. My, you can't get away from God either. And if there's a hunger in you for the word, what's causing that? That's God. God loves to hear him talk about himself. He's the most conceited thing there is. He loves to hear himself talk about himself. He loves to hear it. Say his name again. He loves to hear it. And that's the way the bride is. We're sealed in. Satan's sealed out. Brother Branham said when a woman gets pregnant, all the other seeds, only one germ gets into that egg. Unless it's twins, one germ gets in there, and what happens? It gets sealed in, and all those million other germs that are out there that look just like they were the other ones, and they all look like they're supposed to go in, only one gets in, all the rest of them die. He's one in a million. You are one in a million.
Amen.
That's who we are. And just as much as we're sealed in, all those others are sealed out. And they can't pull you out. And that's why it doesn't matter what they think about you. Oh, your church is a cult. Thank you. Oh, your people don't live good. Thank you. Oh, y'all are wild. Thank you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they think anyway. Because you know what? Only one that matters is what Jesus said. And Jesus said, I can go. And I don't care how much they say I shouldn't be able to go to heaven. I'm going because he said so. So I don't care how it looks. I don't care if you say, well, my goodness, you should do a better job. Yeah, I should. But you know what? He still said, I can go. And if he said you can go, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Well, good job, Brother Jay. Enjoyed that. Barb, is that you? Our long lost sheep has come home. Some of y'all don't even know Barb. She hasn't been here in many years. But she's back. So she's back. She's back home. She's back with Mike and Debbie. So God bless you. Good to have you here. Welcome home.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. That's the way you talk. Yes, Kevin. Yes, Kevin. Yes, sir, Kevin. I'm bad about telling about trips because I'm not an artist detail person. I always try to get everybody else to say it for me, but since it's just me and Clarice, so I guess I have to do what I have to do. Well, we left Friday morning. We flew down to South Carolina, and I'll keep it short because it's getting late. And when we got down there, we got to the hotel, and we got there in time to go to Bible class on Friday night. So we got in there on Friday night to Brother Fred's Bible class. And I enjoyed it so much. Matter of fact, see, I'm not supposed to do this. I can't keep no secrets from y'all. I try to hold things back, but I can't. I decided when we start our Sunday night services again, it's going to be a Bible study like Fred's because I liked it. It was an open forum. And everybody participates and they talk about scriptures and ask questions. And so that's going to be our Sunday nights, probably July, because June has got a lot of things going on. So probably come July, we're going to start our Sunday nights again. And it's going to be a Bible study, open discussion, question and answers, whatever. It's not going to be like normal service. It's going to be a free for all. I mean, if you want to talk about, and it's not just the preachers, everybody, the brothers, the sisters. Now, we'll get in trouble with message churches letting the sisters talk, but if you have a question, bring it up. When you're reading your message books and you run across something, bring it up. You're reading your Bible and you come across something, want to know how it ties in, bring. So I think we're going to do that in July. See, I wasn't going to tell y'all until later, but there you go. So I decided we're going to do that. But we went to Bible study Friday night, and because I was trying to figure out what to do with Sunday night. I wanted to do something different, and so now I know. So that's why it's good to go, because you go water in, water out. And so I thought, there you go. So Friday night Bible study was good. And then I got to spend, and Clarice got to spend the day on Saturday with Fred and B. And it's always good because they're old friends. And so we spent the day. And then Sunday, oh, Lord. Sunday morning service started at 10. No, 11. It starts at 11. Sunday night service starts at 5. Yeah, yeah. Now you're starting to see the squeeze I had on me because I preached Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And so needless to say, I try to reserve myself, but I forget. I told Brother Fred's son, who plays the piano, and I knew we were going to be a crutch for time, and I told him, said, now, when it's time for me to stop, I want you to go to the piano. Because I don't know, they know what time they need to stop because they're restaurants and they have reasons why they stop. But I said, you go to the piano, and I'll know it's time for me to close, because I know me. I get anointed, carried away, and I'll preach 3-4 hours and not even look up. And so I said, you go on that piano, and then I'll know. So I got started, and Sunday morning, I preached on the three pools. First pool, second pool, third pool. No, I didn't. I preached on the threefold purpose of God. That was Sunday morning. Third pool was Sunday night. And so I preached on that Sunday morning, and my Lord blessed. The church was blessed. It was a good service. Let's just put it that way. And then, lo and behold, did not read in the phone at the piano. I was like, oh, okay, I got close. So I did that Sunday morning and got out of there probably 1, something like that. So I was already in trouble because 5 o'clock is coming. So because I try to reserve my voice. I try to just because a lot of things happen when you're preaching. You can't just let go because you don't want to get hoarse. I've been hoarse overseas before. It's very irritating. So I try to reserve myself Sunday morning, which I did an awful job, and preached about 2 hours on the three purposes of God, and the church just went crazy. And then we went out to eat, and I got back to the hotel, and I realized I need to get checked in for our flight because they're flying the next day. So I had to go downstairs and get checked in and got that done, come back. I had about a half an hour to lay down. So I laid down for about a half an hour and then got up, got dressed, and went back for Sunday night service. And Sunday night service, we were preaching on three pools, thank you. So I was preaching on the three pools Sunday night. Lord, come in that place. I think he hit. I don't even know. He hit so much. It was discerning the audience, the congregation. And I had no idea. I was just gone. And by the time we finished preaching, and I went out to eat with Fred was up and down. He was up walking aisle. He just went crazy. But they went wild. And Fred told me later on, he said, I hit things Sunday evening, and that just the discernment going through the congregation, hitting situations and things and handling things that I don't even know. I really don't even know how. I just know God was in that place. And by the time we finished Sunday night, there were people shaking my hand, and they were coming out. One of the things they did realize is they were God. I mean, they really realized it, because I heard one brother going out shaking, God bless you, God. God bless you. Because they actually, Fred had been preaching it, but like I said, that water coming in and out, it took a person outside of their body to come in and to draw the picture in such a way that the people actually got it. They actually got it. And Fred said, I've been telling them this. And his son said, Dad's been preaching this, but it didn't click until tonight. One brother came by and shook my hand and said, all those missing pieces, they all come together. And, you know, it was a miracle. And one sister, we were talking about taking your loved ones, and I didn't understand her. By the time I was finished standing in back, she come back. I was shaking hands with people leaving, and she was in tears, and Clarice was standing there talking to her, and she was saying something about she runs across people all the time, but didn't, and people would criticize her. She's a bus driver, and they said, she said people criticize her because she's friends are dealing with these people who are, some are not very good people, and she didn't know what to do with it, and she found out Sunday that she can take her lovings, and she needs to be the God to them, and let them do, because she said they come, they tell me their problem, and somewhere in a preaching I just mentioned how that you know, God will bring people to you, and they'll spill their guts, and they'll give you their problems, and they don't even know why. It's the presence of God that draws them, and they don't even know what they're doing, and she didn't know where to place that until Sunday night. She's like, now I get it. Now I understand what it is that's happening in my life. Amen. It's God in me, and people are being drawn. And she said, I'm not going to let it bother me anymore. Amen. And so it was a very good trip. I'll let Clarice say a word or two, because we got to get going. And don't step on, come up here and say something, because she'll probably draw a better picture. She's an artist. She'll draw a better picture. I'm cut and dry. I went to South Carolina, and I'm home. That's me. That's when I would go overseas with Parnell. That's why I let him do all the talking, because he would draw these big pictures out, and I just say, yeah, we went, we're back. So she was there. She could tell you. Am I lying?
Oh, my God. You know, when Pastor Moore is out on the field, like when he's in the Philippines or different places, and he's not home, you see a whole nother side of the ministry that is unlike this, what normal thing is. If you ever doubted that God is in his body doing, well, it's just amazing. Beautiful people, beautiful fellowship. I count myself honored to be able to go in and be there, because they love the Lord, amazing fellowship, but just to see, amen, ditto what he said. Oh, if anybody doubts that there's silence in heaven for half an hour, oh, he's here. And he's not just, well, like he said, well, I'm going to make it short. He is in his body, a many-membered body. And he's in that man right there. Woo! I am honored to be with this man. He is perfect in every way. He is God.
He's supposed to talk about the meeting, not me.
Well, you can't separate it. If I ever seen God move, just like he said, situations. You know, Belinda used to think, I was telling somebody today, Belinda used to think her house was bugged. Because, but it is, it's God. It's God, and I thank God for that. Okay, shut up right now.
But they did enjoy us coming. They were very, I told them I was coming back, and I said, we'll be back, and I'm going to bring my church down. And Fred said, I'll believe it when I see it. And B said, oh, if he said it, he'll do it. Said, B knows it. She's like, I don't even say it unless I already got a plan in my mind. So, but it was good. It's good to be able to. Yes, sir. Oh, no. Well, you know, honestly, I wish it could have been recorded. It's one of those services you had to be there. They didn't have it recorded. I asked Fred, I said, Fred, could I knew y'all want to hear the tape, and I wish you could, but sorry you can't. But it's not in my, as a matter of fact, I don't take anything out there that I don't preach here first. Amen. I don't. I'd actually take the services that we have with me. I'll just grab a few, and then when I feel led, what I feel led to do, share with them. And these are messages that we were just preached here just recently. So you got yours, amen, greedy thing. But it was amazing to see God move. And so we'll talk about the trip, and I'm planning on us at some point taking a church trip down there. I told them, I said, I'm coming back and I'm bringing my church with me. Beautiful. And they are looking forward to it. Because see, we did this 37 years ago. I think B said 30 something years ago. Yes. When Brother Childers took us down there on the bus, we all went down there. And so I said, now we got another generation that I want them to experience what we experience. It'll be different because it's us, but it's a life-changing trip, and you'll never be the same, and you'll have such a good time because we have good fellowship all the way down, good fellowship while we're there, and good fellowship all the way back. And there was a lot of things going. It took us 24 hours to get down there because the bus broke down, and Brother Childers had to. We were sitting in a bus in a covered barn garage while they're working on the engine or whatever they were doing up there. It was lightning and thundering outside, and we were all sitting in this 50-something people in the school bus. Brother Childers had chairs in the aisleways, and we had that place packed, but we got down there and got back home. So, that was an experience that I will never forget. So, we had a good trip, and I am going to plan on something for us. So, you know, start saving your ducats. I don't even know what that means. We'll just put a little something aside in case we need it and see what God will do. And I can't wait to get y'all to Carolina. Oh, they sing like angels. They play so nice, so good. I told Fred, I said, don't even get off that piano. I don't even want any. He wanted me to go play. I said, no, you play. So, it was a good trip, and they were very glad that we came. So, next we'll get Fred up here. He's still recovering, but at some point I'd like to see him get a little break and get away, and he and B could come up. But it was good. It was worth it. What a mighty God we serve. Good to have you all here. Brother Covey's acting like, you know, he ain't here. You got anything to say, sir? Somebody give him a microphone.
I got something good for you. Praise good. The Lord. Isn't God good?
Amen.
So good. I was talking on the phone today to a fellow I've never met him before. We got halfway into conversation. I had a worker that's been working for me. He's in the other room, and next thing you know, God comes on the scene in the conversation, and the guy looks, and he didn't look at me. He was on the phone. But anyway, he said, there you went and did it. And I said, what did I do? He goes, you touched my soul. You touched my soul. And he goes, I live in Brookville. You need to come out and see me, and you've got the job. He had a rental house or something for me to do. But I just a couple little things I want to say. When he was talking about redemption tonight, I thought about the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the day of redemption. Could you imagine the rapture being the day of redemption when we're all redeemed?
Amen.
And we go back to meet him. Some are redeemed by the grave, but there's going to be just that many-membered body that goes up in a rapture.
Amen.
That day, we're all going to be taken from Satan's pawn shop,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to meet Jesus in the air.
Amen. Amen.
Sunday, I don't know if you can do it, but anyway, in Lima up there in Bluffton, Brother Ray's, we're going to hear Brother Ron Spencer. He's coming up to preach. This man, I testified about him maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Stage 4 brain cancer, stage 4 lymph node cancer, stage 4 lung cancer. And you know what he's been doing for the last 6 or 8, 10 months?
Mm-hmm.
He's been preaching around the United States and around the world with stage 4 cancer. His doctor told him about 2 weeks ago, he said, Ron, you've still got all the same cancer you had a year ago. He said, I don't understand it. And then he told the people in the training in the cancer place where he's at, he said, this man right here, he's the best, worst case we've got in this place. He said, and it's all because, he said, I like what he said to the doctor said, he said, it's all because of his God. Is mm-hmm. the reason he's the way that he is. And if it's all right with Brother Nate, next Wednesday night, I've got something really special for you. Next Wednesday night. And talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends or your children. You need to bring them here next Wednesday night. You'll be blessed thoroughly.
All right.
Yes.
Amen.
I think that might be on my notes right there, yeah. Yes.
Still oh, your
yeah.
notes.
Oh, I tell you, I got to have notes here. When you get a certain age, you need notes. Thoroughly enjoyed that, brother. Thoroughly
Amen.
Enjoyed
Amen. It. Amen. Amen. Good. Bring them. Come on, bring them my prize in here or whatever it is Wednesday night. Something special. Okay. All right. Good. Amen. And that reminds me, did I hear you right? You said your son went back to work?
Wow.
I was going to say, wait a minute. This is the same guy that was in intensive care, same guy that had it on a ventilator, same guy that they only gave him a little bit of time to live. That same one? Same guy said it's up to God. That's the best thing he could say. It shows you God still does answer prayer.
Amen.
And I just wanted to repeat that because I like to repeat it so the devil could hear it in his good ear. So the man's back on the road driving. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. And keep Trevor in your prayers. He was checked for cancer because he had to be checked before he did his surgery, and no cancer. Amen. So keep him in your prayers. He's got surgery coming up. This is a big surgery, so same God that's kept him this long is the same God that'll keep him through this. So keep him in your prayers. And Donna, we got you. Keep her in your prayers. Amen. Anna, we got Anna. We got her. Amen. We got Clarice's eyes. Just keep the body in your prayers. Because God does answer them.
He does.
Even when it's sometimes it says there's no hope. Like I said, the brother's got all these four stages of cancer, and they don't even understand why he's still alive. God. How in the world can he keep praying for Anna? We got Anna too. That's right. How can a man come off of a ventilator and driving a truck and not even much time? Not even much time. 3 months? My. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. That's the song I want to sing as we close. Good to have our sis back. She's been coming in, and it's good to have her here with us. And good to have Mike. You don't say nothing, but Mike's the quiet one in here. So. Amen. Come back on Sunday expecting. See what God will do. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, yes, one.